Well, it starts at a wedding, but it ends up in marriage. Hey, I'm Robin Gaddis. I'm the lead pastor here. Thanks for being here. If you're watching online, great. Good to have you. This is your church, too. Hope you swing by and join us at one of the live services. So we're in this series called Mr. and Mrs. Better Half, How to Fail-Proof Your Marriage. And here's the thing. To fall in love, it only takes a pulse. But if you're going to stay in love, you better have a plan. And part of that plan is how to fail-proof your marriage. Now, we got started last week. Here's a little bit of review. We talked about the difference between expectations and desires. You know, we all come into marriage and we know what we want. That's why we get married. I mean, I know I want my spouse to look a certain way. And I know I want a certain type of house, and I want a certain type of car, and I want a certain size family, and I want a certain size income, and I want a certain type of vacation that we're going to go on, and I never want my wife to wear that to bed. I know what I want her to wear to bed, and it's not that. And she wants me to accept her how she always is, no matter what she ever looks like. And we know what it is that we want. We have our desires. And then here's the problem. We get married, and another person comes in the relationship, and guess what? They know what they want, too. And so, like, you know, I know what I want, but they know what they want, and that's when the expectations can begin. Here's the definition of an expectation. It's when I expect you to be fully responsible to give me what I want. That's an expectation. And sometimes it starts as a desire, but it becomes an expectation because, you know, like, your job in the marriage is to make certain that I get what I want. And we're very clear on what it is that we want in our marriage. It can cause all kinds of troubles. A lot of weight comes into the marriage because we're expecting things to occur. And now here's the difference. A desire is something that can be shared. An expectation is a one-way street. Like, I know what I want, and it's your responsibility to make sure that I get what I want. It's an expectation. But a desire is something that both people settle on, and they really work together to make sure one person receives. So I talked last weekend about my wife. She likes boots. And so, like, you know, she has a desire. She wants to be in fashion, like wardrobe and stuff like that. So, like, we're working really super hard right now together to make sure she gets what she wants. And that's what marriage is oftentimes, is like you're talking and communicating, and, like, one person has a desire and a want, and both people are working really hard to make sure that one person gets what they want. So sometimes me and Clarice are working really, really super hard to make sure she gets what she wants. And then other times, Clarice and I are working really, really super hard to make sure I get what I want. Those are desires, and we share those things. An expectation is when I expect you to do all the work so I can have what I want. And last week we said, if you get this one thing right in marriage, everything seems to fall into place. Now today we're going to talk about the differences between men and women, and check out this clip.
I like being married, but why is it okay to slam husbands on TV commercials? I don't get that. The wife is always out front in the commercial. My husband is so stupid. He's in the back, tangled up in the blind. Do you see what I endure? Why, if he were lying face down, he wouldn't have sense enough to turn his head to breathe. That's why I do his thinking for him. Like buying him these muffins. And they're good, too! Is that good for me? How the hell would he know? Got a tiny, dumb little husband brain. He would have no way of knowing anything like that on his own.
If there's anywhere where expectations can just run wild and go viral, it's in the differences between men and women. And that's why one of the most important ways to fail-proof your marriage or relationship is to make certain that you know how to cooperate with the person that you're married to in relationship with. This is a big idea this weekend. You can write, we can learn to cooperate. So week two, how do you fail-proof your marriage, men and women together? How do you fail-proof? You learn to cooperate, even though we're very different. And let me read something from the Bible to give this whole idea some credibility. We're all about Jesus and the Bible here. Listen to this. This is the family tree of the human race. When God created the human race, he made it godlike with a nature akin to God. He created both male and female and blessed them, the whole human race. So the idea right off the bat is there would be these differences. There'd be men and there would be women. And they'd be very, very different. And so the question becomes, how do we learn to cooperate when we're so very, very different? And you know, it's almost like we play with a different set of rules. Men have a whole different set of rules than women have a set of rules. I mean, when a man walks into a public bathroom, he knows the rule is no talking. Now, a woman sees going to the public restroom as a social event. I mean, a man goes in there and he knows, like, I'm on task. I go in, I get my business done, and I gotta go out. I mean, for a man, honestly now, this is the truth, he doesn't even want to make eye contact with other dudes in the bathroom. He's got nothing to say. A woman? I mean, have you seen, like, a woman's bathroom? They actually have chairs in there to sit around and talk. And it's decorated, and they're hanging out, and they go in, and, you know, they empty their purses and talk about their day, and they're chatting. I mean, a woman can walk into a public bathroom and walk out like 5 or 10 or 15 or a couple hours later, and they got a new best friend. Whole different set of rules. If you ask a man what's wrong, and a man says nothing, you know what he means? Nothing. If you ask a woman what's wrong and she says nothing, it means something. It's a whole different set of rules. And here's what we found out is that even when we're in the womb, our brains start to develop differently. And that's part of it. We're just like wired differently. When a little baby boy is in the womb at 20 months, the testosterone comes in and it begins to sort of like compartmentalize the little baby's brain. So he has all these little compartments that are developing where everything goes. Now the little baby girl that grows into a woman, when she's at 20 weeks old, here comes the estrogen. And it's like miracle grow on her brain. I mean, everything starts to connect and be together, and everything is associated, and context is everything, and there's no cubby holes for anything. And it's just this big sort of like massive ideas and thoughts. It's just growing and growing and getting bigger and bigger. And that's sort of like what the woman's brain is. Somebody like created a picture to show the difference between men and women. Like, check this out right here. Yep. There it is right there. There's the dude on top, and then there's a girl with all those knobs. I have my own picture of a woman's brain I brought today. Right here. Now, don't take this offensively, because this is actually a compliment, if you can believe it. This is a woman's brain inside. Everything is connected. Everything is associated. I mean, she gets up in the morning and she says hello to her husband. She gets the kids ready and she gets the breakfast. And she's thinking about what she has to shop for. And she might swing by and see if there's a new top that she may want to pick up. And then she's on the way to work. She gets everybody out and she gets a phone call from her best friend. And they talk and talk and talk. And she feels so good. Because now she's like going to work and she feels really good. And then the stupid receptionist says something so like rude. So now she's down again. And then she sees that woman that always comes. She's like, ah, I can't even believe she's wearing that. It's so inappropriate for her to wear that to work, which makes her think about her wardrobe. And she's like, I haven't bought any new clothes in a long time. And he bought that gun last month, and I don't have any money for my clothes. And then lunchtime comes, and she's eating, and she's trying to watch me eat really healthy, but I do have some chocolate. And then, like, and then she sees, and she eats, and the woman, like, look at her. She's just eating and eating. And then she thinks about, you know, the other night, my husband said something to me. He asked me why I was taking more French fries. He asked, why do you need more French fries? And she's like, why did he say that to me? So now she's on her phone to her husband. Hi, honey, how's your day and everything? Hey, why did you ask me the other day how come I took seconds on French fries? Now here's the dude. Here's the problem with the dude. See, now the dude, he's more like a box. And everything's in a box, and he's at work right now. And the only thing in his work box is work stuff. He's not thinking about wife. That's a wife box. And so you call him at work, and he's like, I'm working right now and everything, you know? And she's like, wants to have like a 30-minute conversation. He's like, I don't have time for a 30-second conversation in my work box. And dudes, I don't know if you've ever had this situation come up before, but like your wife comes in and like pokes her head in, and there's a dilemma because she says, oh, you know, something happened at work today that really bothered me. And boy, every like your hair goes up on the back of your neck, and you're like, red alert, red alert, red alert, how do I answer that? You know, now if you ignore your wife, bah, wrong, because she's like, oh, you don't care about me? You don't want to talk about it? I had a really hard day at work. No, it's not that at all. But then you know in the back of your mind, if you just ask the slightest little question, oh, what happened? It's 30 minutes. And you're in your work box in your office. You don't have time for that because you're not in your wife box. And then there's the money box. And then there's the family box. And these are all very separate for guys. I mean, you know, it's all compartmentalized for them. They have all their different boxes that go on. And women, you got to know this about us. So I'm just going to put this out there. There's another box that your husband or whoever in your relationship has. And by the way, if you're single, this series is for everybody. So let me make a disclaimer before we get started. Number one, I'm going to talk in generalities about men and women, so I know there's exceptions. So please don't send me a bunch of emails. I'm not like that at all. I'm more like, don't even do it, because I know that. Okay? Just don't. And then secondly is that this is not meant to be a guilt trip. Because I know some people are really struggling in their relationships, and some have been through divorce. This is, we do not motivate by guilt at East Lake Church. In fact, it's about going forward. And if you're single, like, you need this information. So this is for you, too, because you're going to get married someday. And so that's what the series is all about. So there was a study done, really, really interesting. And here's sort of the backdrop. Because women, you need to know this. Your dude, he has another box, and it's one of his favorite boxes. It's the nothing box. And we wallow like pigs in the mud in this box. Men love this box. This is the box that we climb into, and there's no problem. This is when you see your husband on the Xbox, and he's just dazed out completely, you know. He's like in his nothing box, and he loves his nothing box. That's where he goes, and he enjoys being there. There's a professor at the University of Pennsylvania, Robert Geer. He did a like really fascinating study about men and women, and he proved something, that when men are doing nothing, 70% of their brain is completely shut down. And women are like, didn't take a rocket scientist, none of that. Seen that one. But now here's the interesting statistic. When women are doing nothing, 90% of their brain is still working. It never stops. I mean, their brain is just going and going and going. So they come in, and we're in our nothing box. I mean, we're shut down, and they're not. So I see a problem. How is it that we cooperate? How do we get along? How do we cooperate? When our brains are so different, and we're so different. And part of it is just understanding how the other person is. So we'll take a look at that today. Look in your notes. Men want respect. So we'll talk about men for just a little bit of a second. Here's some stuff on men. And then here's the scripture, something from the Bible. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So here's the thing about men. Men believe that hard work makes all problems go away. And think about it. Even the Lord, the first thing he did was give the dude a job. Get him working. Make him feel like he's accomplishing something. Now, I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I'm just like giving you a heads up, women, girls. When I say girls, I don't mean like little tiny girls. I mean like homie G girls. You know, it's like, so girls. Men like to be where they feel respected. They just do. And they will gravitate to areas where they feel like they can accomplish things and be respected. And as much as they love their families, it's one of the most difficult places for them to navigate. It's a very hard area in their life to navigate, to know how to do the relationships, especially if they have daughters. It's like, how do you do this? And so they'll gravitate. And a lot of times men will gravitate towards work because they understand it and they know how to do it and they can be respected there. And one thing to know about a man, it's so hard for us to ask for help. And so you're married to someone and you know they need help, and it's so hard for them to ask or admit that they need help. Because listen, when I ask for help, it's like admitting that I'm unworthy of your respect. It's like a red flare that goes off. It's like, I don't have my crap together. I don't have my stuff together. Anytime I ask for help, it's like admitting I can't cut it in life. So it's really hard for us to ask for help. So your dude or your dating or anything else, if they always seem like, I'm all that and I got it together, that's because they're probably running scared in some area of their life. And if they admit they need help, it's almost like sealing their fate that they'll never get your respect. Little boys aren't like that. We don't start out that way. There's a story about this little boy, and he's trying to climb up in this pickup truck, and he gets like halfway up, and he can't go forward, and he can't go backwards, and his little feet are just dangling on the ground, and he's screaming out, "Help the boy! Help the boy! Somebody help the boy!" And I thought about, if that was me, a dude, and I was hanging on a truck like that, I wouldn't be yelling out. And if somebody walked by and said, "Hey, man, are you okay? Do you need some help?" Keep walking, dude. I'm good. I don't need your help. I got this. Because when I admit that I need help, I don't feel like I'm worthy of your respect. So I fake. I know, women, I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, "Are you crazy? What a weirdo. Do you mean that when you open up to me about your problems, you don't feel closer and more connected?" And dudes are like, "No. Do you mean you don't want to talk to me about your problems so we can feel close?" No, I don't. I want to solve my problems and make it look like I've got it all together. And I certainly don't need your help. Now, is that okay? Not really. Because listen, a lot of you guys end up all alone. And the woman that you got married with all, like, in the very, very first place because you wanted this companion in life, you're unable to be with her because it makes you feel like you'll never get her respect. And a lot of women in here, you've been hurt because you've reached out for your man and he pushes you away, and I want you to hear something. It's not your fault. It's how we're wired. And it takes cooperation for us to open up about our problems and let you in. The very person that we so often need. My wife has saved me so many times from going over the falls. Early in my marriage, I'd just go right over the waterfall and she'd yell down, "Are you okay?" "Yeah, just swimming." And I learned if I open up to her, she has a completely different perspective than I need. Although, here's what happens a lot of times with women, and a lot of times because women are hurt and they don't understand how to get through to us, they do the worst thing they could ever do. They nag. And they just nag and pick and nag and pick and nag and pick, and how come the garbage isn't out and you said you're going to play baseball and you haven't done what you said you were going to do, mowing the lawns, and how come you always have to be watching TV? Nag, 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 nag. And here's what nagging does. It reinforces that I'm a failure. And that's what I'm struggling with in the first place. Nagging does not work. And I'll tell you another thing that doesn't work. Don't embarrass your husband or your boyfriend. Don't embarrass him in front of the kids. Don't embarrass him in front of... Don't think that you're going to sort of leverage embarrassment and sort of like manipulate them into like, "Yeah, jump to it, boy, because like you're embarrassed now." That'll just cause a fight. Because dudes hate to be embarrassed. Don't embarrass him in front of the kids or your friends or my friends. Don't embarrass me in front of... Do not drag me out onto the dance floor just because one geek out there likes to dance. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. Don't embarrass me. Don't put me in situations that's going to make me feel embarrassed, because listen, now, ladies, listen to this. When I'm embarrassed, I feel weak. And you know what makes me feel strong? Fighting. When I'm embarrassed, I feel like a loser. And you know what I want to feel like? A winner. So I start fighting. And the more I fight with my wife, the stronger I get. And then pretty soon I'm winning. I feel like a winner. When Clarissa and I first got married, a really super young husband, we got into a big, huge, like, woo, like a humdinger fight. We're just fighting like crazy. And it's over some stuff like I'm talking about today. And I'm just, I'm very verbal. And so I'm just slicing and dicing. And I'm cutting her up. And I'm just feeling more strong. And I'm feeling like I'm winning this fight. And pretty soon, boom, she's down for the count. And I'm just, yes, winner! I felt so good. Of course, she's walking out the door crying with her car keys in her hands. And I remember as a very young husband, I just stepped back and I just kind of watched that thing and I saw it and I thought, wait a minute. This isn't why I got married. Cause this? This is definitely not a win. It's like when you embarrass us, it's on. So just don't go that way. But there is a way you can go. There is a way to deal with this. Okay? There's a way to deal with all of our little boxes and our little freakouts and how we have to be and stuff. There's a way to do it, and here it is right here. Take a note of it. What am I supposed to do? I'm a woman. How do I be with my man? Here it is right here. Go to the dude and say to him, say, listen, I need you to shift into your wife box. I need you to shift into your girlfriend box. And I understand that you may not be able to do that just like right away, because it's hard to come out of some like Xbox thing where you're like a knight in shining armor killing everybody. It's like, huh? Well, that's right, I'm married. Hang on. You know, it's like, I mean, that's hard. So here's what you're doing. Please take notes in this. When you go to your husband, and they're like, especially if they're in their nothing box, because they almost gotta like have those heart things hit them again, you know, get them back in there. Here's what you do. Go to them and say, listen, how much time do you need? Ladies, could you just be willing to give us some time to shift? Now, dudes, when they say how much time do you need, you can't say, oh, about a week. You know, that's not fair. But here's what will work. Nagging won't work. Embarrassment won't work. Cold shoulder won't work. But here's what will work. And if you try this, this will work. This will cause cooperation in your relationship. Listen, now, this will work. Go to the dude and say, listen, I need you to shift to your wife box. How much time do you need? You need 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Something happened with the kids today, and it's really weird. It happened at school. I need you to shift to your family box. And guys, we can do it. And if you just say, I'm working right now, I need like 15, 20 minutes or a half hour. Can you give me just a half hour to be where I'm at? And then I'm there for you. And sometimes it just takes a prayer, guys, to just say, Lord, you know, my wife needs me, and I got to shift to my wife box, and I don't know where it is. You know, it's like, God, could you help me find that and get to it? Because if you can, here's the great thing about men. If they shift, they're solid. Our problem is not that we can't connect. Our problem is we're in the wrong freaking box in the first place. And if you come to us, not nagging, don't try to sideswipe us with embarrassment. If you come to us and you say, listen, I need you, man, would you shift? How much time do you need? And then, men, you can shift, and men, you'll cooperate. So that's what it looks like. Now, number two, look in your notes on the other side. We'll talk about women for a second. I'll do my best with it. Women want to connect. Women want to connect. And let's read something out of the Bible. Jesus said this, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets. You stone the messengers. God has sent you. How many times I wanted to put my arms around you. I wanted to put my arms around all you people, just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But circle this, but you would not let me. So it's interesting that when Jesus wants to communicate his heart to the people that he loves, he uses the image of a woman. Now, girls, I'm not saying that you're a hen, so don't go there. But what I am saying is that when Jesus approaches and says, this is what my heart looks like for people, he uses the image of a woman. And he says, I've longed to put my arms around you. Doesn't that sound like a woman would say something like that? Do you know, for a woman, physical touch means security. For a man, it feels like I might get sex, which is a problem. When a woman is touched and there's physical contact, that means you want me and I'm valuable to you and there's security and something's going to happen for us in our life. And I know there's dudes like that. There's exceptions to that. For the most part, though, for a woman, when you touch a woman, when women want to put their arms around you, it means security to them. It's a form of connection. Of course, the problem is when it comes to physical touch, I mean, we're wired so different when it comes to sexual stuff. I mean, like, here's a way to understand it. Like, when it comes to, like, sexual things, men are like microwaves. I mean, they don't need context. They're ready now. I mean, they heat up really super fast, and they cook everything, and then they're done. That's why it's so weird. You can be out, like, hiking through the woods, drenching with sweat, dirt all over you. Like, the dude's leaning up against a tree. You come over, and you touch his back. He's like, right here? Because he's a microwave. He's ready now. He needs no warm-up. Now, men don't need to warm up. He's boop, 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 boop. One touch. You only have to touch a microwave one time. Women, they're more like a crock pot. It takes them a long time to heat up. And then they heat up, and you're thinking, can that girl get any hotter? Oh, yeah, they heat up even more and more. And they're heating up, and they're like, takes a while. Women need context. Now understand something. I'm talking to the dudes right now. When a girl touches you, that's not an invitation for sex. That's a long ways down the road, or it should be. Of course, we got a problem. You just pressed our button. And so, you know, physical touch becomes very complex with men and women. She's heating up and heating up and heating up and going and going and going. And it really, here's where it gets really, really painful. It's like, you know, men and women, they're like, you know, here they have their sex and they're all done. And you know, and then the man just like turns over and he's ready to go to sleep. Oh, all right, man, time to go to bed. Because, you know, a microwave, once the bell goes off, it's over. It's cooked. And the woman, she's over here like going, I don't even know if I heated up all the way yet. And I got a long ways to heat down and everything. It's like, what do you mean you're going to sleep? This sucks. I got ripped. All this work for like 90 seconds, 3 minutes. This isn't fair. It's a problem. It's a real problem. And it shows up in women wanting to connect with us guys. Because it seems like all roads lead to sex. I mean, I don't know, and we have a sex box. I mean, we have a box that we keep our sex in. And here's the crazy thing. You know, you get into bed and you have a couple of minutes to talk, and your wife says, gosh, my mom called me today, and she said something that was really confusing, and she just reaches over and touches you on the shoulder, and you're here. Can we talk about your mom in about a week? That's a problem. And I just want you to hear something. When your wife doesn't feel like you're connected with her, it brings out a lot of insecurity. It doesn't for us. We're in our box. We're fine. But wives are not that way. Listen to this. I want to read you something. This is two people that are married, and they're writing in a diary. Listen to this right here. This will really show you what this is all about. So here's the woman in her diary. Tonight, I thought my husband was acting weird. We had made plans to meet at a nice restaurant for dinner. I was shopping with a friend all day long, and I thought he was upset at the fact that I was a bit late, but he made no comment about it. Our conversation wasn't flowing, so I suggested that we go somewhere quiet so we could talk. He agreed, but he didn't say much. I asked him what was wrong, and he said, nothing. He asked me if he was upset, and he said he wasn't upset, and that it had nothing to do with me, and not to worry about it. On the way home, I told him I loved him, and he smiled slightly and kept driving. I can't explain his behavior. I don't know why he didn't say, I love you too. When we got home, I felt as if I'd lost him completely, as if he didn't want me anymore. He just sat there quietly and watched TV. He continued to seem so distant and absent. Finally, with silence all around us, I decided to go to bed. About 15 minutes later, he came to bed, but I still felt that he was distracted and his thoughts were somewhere else. He fell asleep, and I cried. I don't know what to do. I'm almost sure that his thoughts are with someone else. My life is a disaster. Now, here's his diary. Motorcycle won't start. Can't figure out why. Could you be farther apart? But both of them are living in their own worlds because of the way they're wired. And do you know we normally expect the other person to see life just how we're wired? That's the real problem. Most dudes, honestly, they're trying really, their goal is to turn their wife into them, except to have boobs. Keep the boobs, I need the boobs, but other than that, I'd rather be just like me. And if you ask a woman, you know, like, what's your ideal man? She'll normally describe another woman. Here's the problem. Men make lousy women, and women make lousy men. The answer is not to try to get the other person to be something they're not. It's cooperation. It's difficult, but it can be done. And guys, I want to just talk to you just for a second. I want to just put something out there. God created you to create security for the woman that you're married to. And your greatest sense of accomplishment will be when that occurs. You can get the softball trophies and the big hanging bass and the trailer and the four-wheel drive truck, and you can get all kinds of money, and you can rock it. And it'll be nothing like the self-respect of knowing the woman that I'm married with, she is secure in our relationship. It's the greatest sense of accomplishment. You know what you're chasing? Probably sitting right next to you. It's in her. Now here's an idea on it, because you're like, well, how do we do this thing? Like, here's an idea for the guys, because guys are all about fixing things. They're all about making things okay. And you know, so a lot of times when a woman comes to us with a problem, you know, here's a great way to start a fight. Can't you just not feel that way? It's like, you know. Feelings are real, even if they're not accurate. So here's what I want you to write down if you're a guy. Just write this down. Don't solve problems from the sidelines. Do you know when you solve problems from the sidelines, what you feel like? A heckler. You feel like that guy in the fifth row at an NBA game that's just heckling and heckling and heckling and heckling. He's not in the game. He's not helping anybody. He's just heckling everybody. Nobody likes a backseat driver. And that's how you come across dudes when all you want to do is just fix the problem from the sidelines. Listen, this is where they're at. They don't have any nice cool boxes to put stuff in. And by God's grace, you can jump in the middle of this and be with them. And here's how you do it. I'll give you a question. After you listen and listen and listen and listen, you may need to get a roll of duct tape and take it with you and just put it on your mouth. Or even better yet, hand the duct tape to the woman and say, the first time I talk, just hand it to me. And just shut up. Whoo, would my marriage have been a lot smoother if I just would have shut up. Because guess what? Usually what my wife says to me down the road is, shut up! With some adjectives and some adverbs thrown in. For spice. My wife always says to me, she says, why do you need a 2x4? And I'm like, oh. You know what a guy calls a 2x4? Clarity. I'm clear now. So listen. Step number two, here's a question, and this will work so well. Before you start telling her how to fix it, you're listening now, so you're in the game. Here's what ask. Before you say anything, the first words out of your mouth, this will work every time. Honey, what do you need from me? Oh, man, if we could just say that. You'd be golfing in a half hour. if you could just listen, and guys, listen, just and then just say, honey, dear, whatever little name you call your girlfriend or spouse, just say, honey, what do you need from me? Because you know what that communicates? You're going to get in the middle of all this with me. And this is a lot. But you're going to jump in here with me. And that settles such a huge, 90% of it is settled the moment they know you're with them. So make sure you write it down. You heard it here in church. Honey, what do you need from me? And then listen, see what they need. And they do need something from you. Women need us. We're not just boy toys. they need us. They need our wisdom and our protection. They need our perspective. They need to feel like my dude's got my back. If there was anything I'd do different in all my 28 years of marriage and with all my kids, if there was anything I would do different, I'd be so much more frickin' aggressive. When people even get near my family, I'd be so up in their grill. Teachers, whoever. Some teacher messes with your kids, up in their grill. Listen, you don't even understand, girl. I'll call the governor now. Because women want that. They want to feel like you're with them and you're aggressive and you've got this thing, but they want that after they hear this. Honey, what do you need me to be for you? Because women, they need to connect. And the way they connect is when you start there. Now here's the thing, it's the bottom line. The bottom line today is we both want to succeed. Men want respect, women want to connect, and we both want to succeed. And listen to this, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. What's God saying here? What's Jesus saying? What's the Lord saying? Is that When you're standing back to back with the person you're in a relationship with, your spouse, you have such a broader perspective. Like, you're standing back to back, you can see things they can't see. You can see problems before they arise, and they can't see those problems. And they can see opportunities that are coming, and you can't see those opportunities. Because when you're standing back to back, you can fight together instead of fighting with each other. And isn't that the worst, when the person that you love, you're like fighting again? Cooperation. And here's the key. The Bible says it. It notices it says there's three cords. So one cord is the man and one cord is the woman. But there's a third cord, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I told you last week, East Lake Church is not tips on how to have a better life or tips on how to better. I mean, we can't even begin to really do this stuff without Him. And the Bible like writes it, says, well, there'll be a man cord and there'll be a woman cord, but unless there's a third person in the marriage, that's when it becomes more than a cord, it becomes a rope. And it becomes a strong rope. And for some of you, you may think, I could never turn to Jesus. How lame. Okay, you're just sort of bobbing along still. But I do want to say this. He's willing to turn to you. The moment you're willing to open your heart to Him, you might think, I've done so many things wrong. Our marriage is so jacked up. I've got secrets I don't even like to remember anymore. Like, Jesus would never, ever want to be with me. Well, here's the truth. Your good works or lack of them has no influence on His heart for you. He loves you just how you are. And He's willing to be the third person in the relationship. Now today, Mr. and Mrs. Better Half, we're talking about it from the perspective of what can occur for us with Jesus in the middle of our relationship. And it's really possible to understand men and how to respect them. And it's really possible to understand women that they need to feel connected. And it all occurs when I open my heart to Jesus.